simply outdistance in terms of practicality. They're really no practitioner. That's just another way of getting to the same. There's a lot of tools in this methodology. That's the reason you get some conflicting opinions up here. Maybe not conflicting, but at least different opinions.
Yeah.
In last year's seminar, somebody told me that factor W between one horse and another was 0.72 in phase three. That eliminated the second horse. It's synergism. Because they're closer, that number would be less.
I won't eliminate on that basis at all.
You won't?
No. To 0.72, sometimes yes, sometimes no, but not a blanket elimination. Suppose the horse that's 0.74 down has a tremendous early pace advantage and it's on a tremendous early pace bias track. No.
If he's 0.74 division, factor W, then he must finish at 42 feet per second.
Maybe that'll win it. What I'm saying is don't get locked into a nice little number like 72. In the first place, 72 is a pipe guess, one of those three puffers that Howard does. Probably about 72. That's how that number came about, and it's a pretty good guesstimate nationally. But it is not a hard and fast rule. 0.72 is pretty generous in some parts of the country. In other parts of the country, it's not. I tried to do that with total energy, looking at raw total energy, and we had an article in the follow-up about it, and I tried it, and though apparently it worked very well for Mr. Hazen, I did not find that it worked particularly well for me. I was throwing out lots and lots of horses that were doing very, very well.
Want another answer to that? You're not going to like this one either. I throw them out for that, except when I don't.
Yeah, that
is the answer to it. I mean, if a horse has a dominant pace edge, first and second fractions, the third fraction is often inflated over what you've seen before, and it comes in, distorts the mirror, it makes the difference.
Yeah, well, it's kind of a loaded question anyway, because a lot of times you've made decisions that horses are contenders, then you get the printout, and you see there's a 0.95 difference in factor W. Now you change your mind, it's circular reasoning, which is the horse has been a throwout in the first place. It's like you're second guessing yourself.
Yeah, there's no answer. He gave you a polite answer, and my answer is polite also, but I would throw it out except when I would. That's the only recommendation.
Okay.
There are a question behind you here, someone? Yes, sir.
Yes, did I misunderstand on the Brohammer model tape that we should eliminate the ties in the sort? In other words, if there's two twos, in reality, one is a two and one is a three.
No, I keep it as a two. If it's within 0.05, now on Kennedy, if Kennedy hit one, you make that three or four. That's Howard's hobby horse. He wants it to be a three. He gets to put his name on the front of the manual, therefore it's a three. If you are doing any sort of rational record keeping, it's a four.
Yeah, I recall something about that on that tape. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I would not break that tie. Because if you break that tie and you're faced with this, with another choice at some other time with a tie, It's misleading. I mean, you get apples and oranges.
Teresa, because I just re-listened to it again this week, you know, knowing that you were going to be here, and I played it back, and I really didn't understand what they meant.
Okay, Howard. That was not my voice that was saying.
No, it was Howard. It's okay.
Howard does, as I say, Howard likes to put in ties, and he doesn't see anything wrong with 1-1-1-1-1-2. I said, well, the horse was second, and I point out that he's still way back in the back of the pack and that sort of thing. So we've gone around on this rationality yet again lost.
Okay. A point of logic here. You have four horses that are tied 54-17, 54-17, 54-17, 54-17. They're all tied for one, right? Now, the very next rating is 53-17, one full point below, right? On this sort you're looking at, he'll be number two. But we're not asking you to rank those four that were tied for one, because that will distort anything.
And poor Bob had to stand on his head to get it to do that. He wrote line after line of code, and I just wish to hell he hadn't, but there you have it. It's not a big deal. Just learn to change them as you go. None of our other programs do this, by the way. The programmers resist it. Yes, sir.
Middle number of figures, F1, F2, F3.
Uh-huh.
How do I go about analyzing that?
Okay, basically, what you have here, there's a couple ways you can do it. You can get real sophisticated, figure out the value of a beaten length, and do that. But there you're kind of defeating yourself. You can use that as a guide to the matchup. But I really think you're then defeating the power of our compounded numbers, like factor W, sustain phase, and doctor. So let's face it. All you have to do is bet your top two doctor in this race and you go home winners. And doing all that tricky matchup stuff up above negates that. On the other hand, one of the things that you should know is what, for instance, is the minimum third fraction that a horse wins with. At Santa Anita, 47s don't do it. Very often. Occasionally a 49. I won't throw a horse out for, I would not throw out last because of that 49. Although 49.30, I'd like to see him above 49.50. But that is right on the very edge. I mean, 1 point more and he's gone. He's just right out there on the very edge. And you have to know that. Now, at your track, maybe 48's going all the time. Maybe they have to be 51 and up. I don't know. It's one of those variables. What you do is you put it on your track profile or your Brohammer model. Now let's get back. I want to finish up the model because we're not done with the sucker yet. We have one race on it. And unfortunately, a Brohammer model with one race, although it can be used and useful, is not a thing of beauty. So what we're going to do, I'm just going to look at the sort pages here. I'm going to put exactly what we have there. 2, 3, 2, 2, 3, 2. Zip, zip, zip. And I'm going to draw a few more. I think you can all see this is just exactly what you have here. And if you want to, you can use the beacon lights and track it. You can put a column here for third fraction, column here for percent median, column for anything. Now, let's do a... 1, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then a 2, 3, 2, 3, 4, 2, and then a 2, 4, 4, 4, 3, 3. Those numbers are meaningless, don't copy them down. Making them up as I go. What Tom in his book has some really fancy ways of analyzing this, looking for percentages, looking at horses that best fit multiple categories. Want to get sophisticated, show off, and only bet one horse, and all that kind of stuff. Do it his way. Buy the book. It's wonderful. A simple, easy way to do it is just run your eye down the columns. Here's factor W. Remember we bet two horses in there? A one or a two counts as a win. Therefore, we got a win here, we got a win here, we got a win here, we got a win there. Bang! What do I do in my next race? No, I bet on factor W. I'm done with my analysis. Sort my butt. We bet top two factor W, end of discussion. Now, that's not the most sophisticated way of using it. You want the sophisticated stuff? Buy the book. Now, I'm saying that, well, let's see, you got one there, obviously, early is not very important at this track, at this distance, at this week, right? So if the horse has, that's by the way, why you always put in five horses. Suppose you only use three horses in this race. Suppose it's a three here. Now it's looking three, 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 four. All of a sudden, early looks like it might be kind of important. You gotta be in the top three early. You mean a top 12 early. It's fine. Sustain? Obviously you have some decent sustain, but it's not critical. This is winning. What else is winning? Well, the doctor certainly is doing pretty well. This thing, L, pretty obvious to you that L is not a critical factor. A real late, and late, when they say late, they mean dreadfully late. That the day ain't doing it. TT, our good old friend here that I thought about, it's, it's there, but I was one of them. Doctors didn't support it. 75%. W is 4 for 4. What am I looking for? Am I handicapped? Top 2, W, and I love it to death. It's also my top 2. It can be just that simple. Now, there is one dreadful flaw in the Brohammer model.
And
Tom will be the first to admit that I'm right. The Brohammer model, you have to handicap every day. Otherwise, you don't have a Brohammer model. It's very difficult to handicap once you know the results. And it's only semi-valid if you're not betting. Howard talked about the classic case of the person that can win at home and not at the track. It's pretty difficult. It's pretty difficult to be truthful with yourself when you're at home. It's so easy to say, oh, I'll just throw this horse out. I'll just throw this horse out. I'll just throw that horse out. And you get to the track. Well, wait a minute. Buckethead is actually being better supported here than Jazz. And wait a minute. Martin Pedroza, he just won 2 in a row, He could be going for a triple. He's going to be trying. Oh, wait a minute. And at the track, it's a whole other world. So it really helps you to zero in only if you've done the work.
You're watching the group that you're
talking to. Oh.
There's a lot of head shaking yes for that. The
what ifs. Yeah, the what ifs. Hey, ask me how I know these things.
Everybody does.
Yeah. It's just human nature. The model will keep you on the straight and narrow only if you've actually done the race. Now, if you handicap a race and it's a race you need for your model and you left the winner out, I find that I try to get real severe with myself and I pick the most conservative pace line I can for the horse, and I'll sometimes put him in. But I don't ever like to put a race in my model if I haven't actually put money on that race, or at least minimum thought I was going to put money on that race. Now, if I have a flat tire and I waited a track, then I put them in. Or if I got held up, okay, I intended to bet that race. I really was willing to bet that race. But that's sort of the dividing line. Yes, sir?
In your example up here,
mm-hmm.
You got late pace, you got 4 for 4 in the 3-4 position.
Mm-hmm. No. Don't start betting your 3s and 4s late. I wouldn't.
what I'm saying is in the case where it shows a predominance of something other than 1s and 2s, are you then saying that it becomes not a predictive tool but a supportive type tool?
Tom would tell you, well, it has to be in the top 3.5 or something. I don't know. I simply ignore those columns. Tom? Do you understand the Brohammer model?
I understand it. I agree with this on that. You got to keep it as simple as you possibly can. And in my own book or manual, you'll find that I got fairly involved in some of those rankings as saying, oh, it has to be this much here, this much there, and so on. But in its simplest form, this example, I wouldn't do anything except that back up in top 2. There's no reason for it. And if you really want to bet a lot of money on a single horse, then you might ask for a supportive area. Late pace would be the one. Let me share a story with you that happened about 4 years ago. I had a lady call me, she's going crazy. She said, I can't win. It was a husband and wife team. We're pretty good players now, but they could not win. They couldn't do it. They couldn't get anything right. And I agreed to meet with them at Hollywood Park. And I said, I'll take a look at what you're doing. We'll talk about it and see what the problem was. And when we looked at it, in the top 2 factor W, they had like 72% or something. I said, something's really wrong. Why aren't you doing that? Well, we found that over this one category, if you were better than a 3 or 4, you couldn't win. So we were insisting that it be 3 or 4 instead of category. So there'd have to be like 1, 1, and 4. And a 1, 1, 1, then they couldn't play. Now think about that for a minute. And that's a true story. That is an absolute fact. And so if they were better than like a 4, they wouldn't play. I said, wait a minute. Better than a 4 is better than a 4.
you're handicapping John the Hell, and you've got a massive pain from the track, and you don't have one of the areas in the model that's consistently in the 1-2 category, and you don't really have anything.
That's my very next point. One of the most valuable things your model can do for you is not tell you how to bet, but tell you how not to bet. If you look up and you see a model that's all threes and fours, like odd two and one here and there, but no patterns, you run your eye down, and the best you can find is a 50% column. You don't understand what's going on. I keep at Santa Anita 7, 8, maybe 9 models. Something. I forget how many distances and surfaces they run. I did mean to say that. It's put it up there. You keep this by distance and surface. You do not mix all the sprints, for instance. I know it's tempting, but Hollywood Park, anyone who has ever seen Brohammer models from the 6s and the 6.5s, they are completely different. Very true. And you would think, okay, it's a little longer race. You want a little more sustain. And a lot earlier. Normally. And with my handicapping. By the way, this is a very personal tool. I'm going to get to that too. But one of the things, I know at Santa Anita, I have never had all of those models, I think it's 8 that I keep. I've never had all 8 positive, clicking along at any one time. I've also never had all 8 bad at any one time. When I was really, the first year that I handicapped and was totally dependent on this model, absolutely, before I had really any insights at all, I was about a 60% handicapper, maybe a little lower. But I was a 70% better, because I had at least enough sense to look at a model and say, whoa, the best I can do is 4 out of 10 in sustained pace, and everything else is worse. El Paso, no, a Texas race. Can't handle that one. So I go on handicapping them. I wait for the model to change. And next week, it may turn around. I've had times when I'm just nailing sprint after sprint after sprint after sprint. And then it. I don't know what it is, but it changes. Whatever it was, it changed. And it flip-flopped. And all of a sudden, the routes that I could not touch, I have the golden touch. I can't lose a route, and I can't hit a sprint in the ass with a bass fiddle. It's just, you know, and I don't know why. Did they dig the track? Did they turn it upside down? Did the gods say, take that? I don't know. I don't have to know. Trust your model. Handicapping every day, every race, is the optimal. You only handicap on the weekends. You can only handicap when you can. I find myself truly at a very severe disadvantage because I'm an in-and-out player now. I have to take 3 weeks off every 2 months to do the follow-up. I have to do a lot of babysitting. I don't get to the track nearly as often as I would like. And this is where I really suffer, is on the model. Luckily enough, the track profile will save your bacon a lot. But the track profile is not personalized. Track profile is the same. Now, at some seminars, we pass out track profiles. We did at Monmouth, for instance. Here's a track profile. We can never pass out a model. The model is intensely personal. It tells you your strengths and your weaknesses. You can be doing horribly in the routes, great in the sprints, while at the same time, I'm doing great in the sprints and horribly in the routes. You know, if you can be wiki-worky, we can be completely different. You can think the track is early, I can think the track is late. And we'll both think it's running the same percent medium, but your sustained pace horses are winning and my early pace horses are winning. It has to do with pace line selection. It has to do with analysis. The model is personal, and it speaks directly to you, whereas the track profile is just what happened. Cold, hard numbers, facts, and is, in a way, more useful and in a way much less useful. The big advantage to a track profile is it's a 3-minute-a-day job. The model is really a 30-second-a-day job. How long does it take to write 6 numbers? But you have to do the work beforehand. Therefore, that turns it into a real task. So, the advice that I can give you from the heart, do them both. If you can't keep up your model, you have to take your going on vacation for a week. Well, that's reality. You just, you know, make a note of it, and away you go. You use what you have. Just don't put a lot of faith in it. When you come back, you know, in 2 weeks or 3 weeks, the track may have changed. But there's no reason in the world you can't keep this track profile up. And the two will move together somewhat. But it's sort of one is a reality check on the other. And when your handicapping is really right on, they're moving together beautifully. And I would advise everyone to keep exhaustive models and exhaustive track profiles to start with. And then start winnowing them down. If you decide, well, I really don't need beaten lights at the first call and things like that, okay, don't keep it. Although, I used to not keep it, and I started doing it again since I switched to percent media, and I need the number anyway, so I might as well write it down. There were questions. Yes, sir?
If you had a 1-1-2 and then 3-4, and then your energy is off more than 0.5 or what you figure with the average median, then you wouldn't play at a box, right? Because the median energy was off. I say it's about...
In other words, he's number one factor W, but he's got a 70%. There you're kind of caught on the horns of the dilemma. Your model says yes, your attack profile says no. And then we stop being a science and start being an art. And you have to sit down and really think about that. The answer is, I cannot answer that question without actually seeing the race. If he's a loney and able to dominate the pace, sure. On the other hand, if there's three other horses that are faster than he is, and I think he's going to get shuffled back, and that 70% is going to kill him, no. I don't care where he is on factor W. If he earned the entire factor W number in the first, and his third fraction is a 46, no. On the other hand, if he's a very balanced horse, maybe so. Let's see. But that's just an unanswerable question. Yes, sir?
If you're using factor W to set up your race, number one on synergy, and you get a model that shows a very, very early bias, would you then switch to using...
Yeah. The reason I don't... I sort on factor W 99% of the time because of one number, and it's right over here. It's the doctor. The doctor changes. None of these other numbers change. The order changes, but the numbers remain the same. And... so it doesn't matter what you sort on. They don't change. They just the position of the horse. He still gets... his horse is either on the top or he's up in fourth place, but he's still a 1-4. Mm-hmm. However, this number does change. And if you're going to model it, you can't have that. Unless you want to keep three models, which some people do. Particularly if you're using one of the big computers where it's faster than a few like that, you can change it. Maybe you'll want to do that. Up to you. But this number is a variable with that. So I want to keep that number predictive in the future. I don't want it to have, okay, this was an early, this was a sustained, this was an early, this was a sustained. That means the number is kind of useless. And the doctor is too valuable to become useless. So I would...
this one is finished.
Okay. I would not... however, when I see the track going, no. Let's say this was early pace, and it had been that way. Nothing was winning but early. Yeah, go ahead and sort that early.
Well,
make a note on it and remark, Tom.
Right. It leads to my second question. I also, because I don't want to mess up the doctor, have this factor W as my starting point.
Uh-huh.
Because I've noticed that, you know, the doctor does change, and that's an important part of my model at Monmouth, as a matter of fact, the doctor. Can you explain, though, what's the relationship of the doctor to other factors and why it changes?
No. It's not that I won't. I can't. The doctor is 190-odd line code. It has the complete ultrascan formula in it. It has factor W in it. It has turn time. It has about 18 different things in it, divided by 18 and multiplied by 72 and stood on its head. I literally simply don't know. The doctor was an attempt to produce one number that would produce a profit, and it was successful. It was not successful enough in that I would not want to just live and die by the doctor. But that's pretty typical. You'll see, now here you are 4-for-4 using something else, and the doctor's 3-for-4. Chances are that 3-for-4 is profitable, but my own experience is a doctor is about a 60% number, top two.
I have not bet on doctors alone, although last Monday at Monmouth, there were 4 6-furlong races that completely were aberrant to the model. And I noticed just in those 4 races that the doctor was number one. So the 5th race that came up, or the 4th race that came up, which say it was 3 races, the 4th race that came up, I just decided to hell with it. I bet the doctor.
Nothing wrong with that. Your model has changed.
14-4.
Sure. Nothing wrong with that. Your model, just model the doctor. Don't worry about what it is. Just use it. If you start seeing ones and twos there, use it. I mean, you can run synergism and work with it and win with it without knowing what factor W is. We give you the formula, but you could do it easily. You just know, oh, the W factor is winning. Okay, fine, I'll bet the W factor. You don't need to know what it is. You just need to know. It's nice. It increases your depth of understanding. But the doctor is so complicated that I literally simply don't know what it is and what its relationship is or how it's weighted or anything else. I'm sorry, I just can't answer that.
Next tape, please.